Logs are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And developers use them day in, day out, right? And maybe even AI is starting to populate some logs too. So, and logs are language. That's the other interesting thing. So, we can now we have pretty good mechanisms and techniques to sort of understand language.
Welcome to the Reliability Rebels podcast, where we improve production by challenging the status quo. Your host, Armin Astani from Cherto Modo.
Welcome to the Reliability Rebels podcast, where we explore how to make software and systems more reliable by challenging the status quo. I'm your host, Amin Astani. Let's say your team shipped a feature. Users now say your app is slow. Engineers now want to investigate. But here's what they're up against. A maze of dashboards they've never seen, tools they haven't been trained on, and terms like PromQL, context propagation, and cardinality, which might as well be a foreign language. So they wait for SRE to read the tea leaves, or make an educated guess, or just roll back to a previous version and pray. We've built an observability industry so complex that most engineers can't observe their own code. The tools exist, the data exists, but the accessibility doesn't. So today's question, how do we make production insights understandable to the people who build the product, not just the specialists who run it? Because when your engineers can't troubleshoot independently, every incident becomes a bottleneck. And that is an organizational problem, not just a tooling one. My guest today is John Reeve, co-founder and CPO of Control Theory, an Austin-based AI-first observability startup developing practical AI for SREs. I met John at KubeCon Atlanta, and I think his philosophy and approach can help cut through the complexity cult that dominates observability today. John, good to have you.
Thank you, Armin. Good to be here. It's great talking at KubeCon, and hope to continue the discussion today.
Yeah, looking forward to it for sure. So let's set the stage a little bit. Couple things. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And for one thing, you've been in the observability and container orchestration ecosystem for a long time. You even went through an acquisition.
Yeah, so I've been in the, I don't want to date myself too much, but quite a number of years in the sort of technology space. Started out actually more on the networking side and with things like network management, and moved into sort of virtualization management, a lot of VMware sort of ecosystem stuff, containers and cloud. And along the way, done a number of startups, some in the observability space, some in the container orchestration space. Myself and three of my co-founders got together and looked at the observability space and were like, in a way, it doesn't seem like we've come that far, and I think we can, there's something we can really do better here. So yeah, so a lot of startups, a lot of up through the technology stack. And of course, now we've got AI in the mix for everyone. And, that's getting interesting as well.
Yeah, so one heck of a pedigree for sure. And you're currently at Control Theory now. So what problem is this company specifically trying to solve?
Yeah, so as I said, we got together, the co-founders and myself, and sort of looked at the space and were like, folks are spending a ton of money on observability these days.
Yeah.
And if you look at sort of thing, outcomes, like things like, mean time to repair or identify or find issues, fix them, these kind of things, those, depending on which survey you look at, those things are sort of either flat or maybe even getting worse, right? So despite investing all this money and time and effort, like we're not getting sort of better outcomes. And so that was sort of the genesis, like, can we do a better approach? Part of that, obviously we saw the growth in things like OpenTelemetry, which we think is a great thing. So I don't have proprietary vendor instrumentation anymore. I've got other ways to sort of route and send my telemetry and instrument my code in an open way. That's a big factor. We saw AI on the scene as well. Mm-hmm. We're like, there's a way to sort of do this very differently, we think, and we think there's going to be a lot of disruption. I mean, across a lot of industries, obviously, but including in the observability space as well.
Yeah, for sure. That all resonates with me. So I had a client a couple years ago. I won't mention who they are, but they set up Prometheus, they set up the Node Exporter, and then they sent all of their metrics to observability platform. I won't mention who they are either. And they ended up with a $50,000 monthly bill, and they didn't get any closer to any insight about their production system, right?
Right.
So yes, you are definitely trying to tackle the current major issue in observability today.
If you're responsible for a SaaS product and you've been dealing with reliability issues, maybe you migrated to the cloud, rolled out microservices, even hired DevOps or SRE specialists, but you're still seeing incidents and slow delivery, you're not wrong for being frustrated. And you're not wrong for trying those things. It seems like every conference talk and blog post recommends them. Here's what host Amina Stani has learned: reliability problems are rarely technical. They're organizational. That's why he created the Rapid Assessment. It diagnoses what's actually broken, for one flat rate. Learn more at certomodo.io. Thanks for listening.
And in a way, it's sort of, I mean, to say, but it's sort of the logical progression, right? Let's just like, yes. Okay, I need to, you know, you can't manage what you can't manage what you don't measure, right? Or whatever.
Right.
Okay, well, let me come in and measure everything, right? I'm going to measure all the things. I'm going to send it to the back end sort of in the sky and then slap some dashboards on it and some queries and stuff like this. So it's sort of, I kind of get why people would go down that path, but
yeah. It's
not, you know, not measuring insight value, right? Or the value of insight. It's measuring the amount of data, basically, not the it's not tied to insight and value of those insights. And so I think that's sort of the flip that we're going to see here in the industry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So when we met, one of the things that jumped out at me immediately when I went to your booth, because, you know, any major conference, KubeCon is no exception. They have the expo floor. There's a billion booths. So I'm exploring these booths, and your booth stood out for one reason. I saw a TUI application, and I'm like, what's going on here? And, you know, I'm looking at it, and it has, you know, UI elements and the graphs. They're all rendered in ASCII in a terminal window, which is just, it just warms my heart, right? So tell me a little bit about what this tool is, Gonzo, and what it does.
Yeah, so I wore my Gonzo t-shirt for the occasion here. So this is an open source tool, Log Analysis 2E Terminal UI. Actually, our CTO wrote it sort of a weekend or two, like, you know, pretty heavy coding session. It's written in Go. And the goal of it is to really bring sort of insights from the logs to developers, SRE, where they work in the terminal, right? So they hang out in the terminal, they're in the IDE. How can we bring sort of insights from your logs right up to you as you're in your workflow? Now, we were certainly inspired by tools like K9's, awesome tool, also a 2E for doing configuration management and managing your Kubernetes clusters. The other sort of input into this was like, it's not just about, again, the raw logs, the raw data we just talked about, but how do we bubble up key insights and key patterns? Because if you've probably done this yourself, or, you know, sat over the shoulder of the SRE you're working with, or the dev folks, first thing they do with the logs is like group by, like, what are the patterns? Like what's or the histogram, right? Like what logs are happening the most and the least, and what, you know, that sort of thing. And so Gonzo sort of does that proactively. So looks for patterns, bubbles them up, sort of plots things on right there in your terminal on a heat map, right? What are the errors and the warns and so forth, and what services are they affecting? And so you sort of get that group by sort of thing or right for you right there in the terminal. Yeah, you can filter stuff, you can, you know, look for stuff and that kind of stuff as well. But our goal is to bubble up insights to you very quickly from your logs. That could be from a file, from a, you know, standard in, from a Kubernetes cluster, versus a lot of the hunt and pecking, right? Like
right.
The grep, you know, tail / grep, this thing, exclude, you know, that. So that was our goal. And, you know, we open sourced it back in August, and yes, it's got an awful lot of traction. I think it's sort of hit a nerve with a lot of folks in terms of, you know, hopefully meeting folks the way they work.
Yeah, it certainly did for me, because in my past, especially before this observability state of things came into play, I needed to do live analysis of logs, right? And the tool that immediately reminded me of Gonzo was this tool called Go Access. And I used to parallel SSH to a bunch of web servers and tail their logs and then run Go Access against the aggregated log. And then you're like, oh, look, here's our aggregated HTTP requests. And here are the 200s and the 400s and the 500s and what paths mm-hmm. and being able to do that. So I really liked that. I did play around with Gonzo this week and pointed it at a Kubernetes cluster and deliberately, you know, set up some pods with a service account that didn't exist. And it did not take long for me to figure out what the heck was going on. So the idea behind Gonzo, every system is generating logs. So why not just do live access, like live analysis of the data that we have, which makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of an AI angle in there as well, in terms of, you know, one of the things we spoke to folks, you know, some people are, whether you're using a local model, AI model, or a hosted one, they might copy and paste a log, you know, the classic PC load letter, like, what does this mean, right? Like, and the AI gives you back some explanation. So there's a little bit of that. It's optional. You don't have to use it, but you can sort of get, you know, send a log message to either a hosted or a local AI model and get something back. So, because I think people are intrigued by that. Like, could the AI actually figure out what's going on here if I could actually give it the right sort of context and give it the right logs, you know? So, and we've certainly seen that. Not everyone, but, you know, certainly some folks.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. And we'll definitely chat more about how AI can be used in a novel way in a bit, because you have a unique philosophy about that. But let's take a moment and explore how Gonzo and control theory and the problems you're trying to solve. There's a departure from the classic production operations model, which, you know, right now, let's be honest, we're querying the equivalent of a data warehouse to get to our metrics. So why are we just accessing the logs on servers directly? Like, what problem are we trying to solve?
Yeah, so it relates to what we talked about up front in terms of, you know, that flow folks go through. Well, we need to manage stuff. So we need to measure it all and let's send it to this back end. And then after the fact, let's try and figure out what's going on.
Right.
We were like, well, can we flip that? Can we move sort of the analysis up front, very close to where the applications run, and also very fast, and sort of like Gonzo, bubble up answers right away without you having to go to the back end and maybe surface them. Obviously, there's cost implications for that, certainly, in terms of one of the things you've probably seen it, like, because of the prohibitive cost, a lot of folks only monitor production, you know, observe production.
Right.
They don't point the tools at staging or dev and those kinds of things. So that, you know, and that's exactly where you want to find the issues, right, before they go into production. So if we can flip that script, right, and we can move intelligence to the edge, and, you know, like, you get all these log messages, right? Maybe I get 500 of these. They're all the same log message. I don't need to send, at least from an analytics perspective, I don't need to send them all to the back end. Like, just increment a counter and tell me I got 500. And it was this kind of log message and this was what was happening. Now, we recognize, of course, there are some logs you need to keep just because, right? Like audit logs, compliance, and things like that. So that's important. I'm not saying it isn't. But in terms of the analytics, the insights, right? Like, can we do a better job by moving it up front? Because the other problem, it's not just the cost. Obviously, as you increase the amount of information, you increase the noise, right? So you've got to sort of know what, even if we have fast query, right, capability on our back end and all that good stuff, I still got to know what to query for, right? And so that, as you mentioned it up front, like, in terms of developers, how do you know, like, maybe the SRE built the dashboard, they built this query and they're looking for an unknown unknown, which is cool, but what about the unknowns? And also, what about the rest of the team that needs to use the platform, you know, when there is an incident or when there is something happening, and they don't know how to use it, right? So can we move intelligence up front? Can we make it easier? Can we sort of bubble up interesting patterns in what's happening, where it's not just sort of known unknowns, but other things you may not have known, right? Like new application releases, new feature releases, those kinds of things, and also democratize it, right? So to bring the whole team on board. And so that's sort of the philosophy. Can we flip this on its head? You can almost see it like a inverted, like a inverted pyramid before we put all this information up in this big lake. Like, can we
Yes.
flip that, that triangle? And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we've been really focusing on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So as a SRE practitioner, of course, I talk about SLOs a lot, but that implies a few things. That implies that you do have, the data warehouse. That implies that you have well-chosen ones. So I'm speaking from the place of operational maturity, but if you're just a startup and you have, an auto scale group and an ELB, and you're just running your first startup application, you don't have any of that stuff. So how do you
Yeah. How do you get
interpret your
underneath
metrics?
it?
Yeah,
And
exactly.
totally agree. Like, I mean, SLO is still very important, right? And
Yeah.
things like red metrics or whatever, and for each service. And we talked about status pages. Those, like, how does the customer know your service? Those still very important, but maybe this, let's say it isn't good. Like, then you're like the next level below, right? Like, okay, well, how do I actually get to the what's going on? And what's interesting, and yes, things like tracing has happened over the years, and folks from
Sure.
various maturity of adopting that. But logs are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And developers use them day in, day out, right? And maybe even AI is starting to populate some logs too. So, and logs are language. That's the other interesting thing. So, we can now we have pretty good mechanisms and techniques to sort of understand language. And I think, I thinking has been, yeah, how do we, versus logs being a reactive resource, sort of often
Yes.
the why behind what's happening is, as we speak to folks, often in the logs. It's just like, how can we bring that up front and make it proactive versus, being reactive with it? So it's sort of, in a way, it's flipping logs as a signal to being a proactive signal, if you like, to from a reactive one.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Let's explore this a bit deeper, 'cause yes, logs are everywhere. That is 100% true. But you're doing something very interesting. You're using LLMs to analyze logs for some pretty interesting use cases. So mind explaining a little bit of what those are?
Yeah, so we've got a few in our commercial offering called Distillate that we're previewing out there at KubeCon. We're doing a few different levels of this. So again, at the edge, we've got sort of some traditional algorithms too, right? Some very fast algorithms that can do things like look for patterns in your logs, right? Like the example we gave, like that this happened 1,000 times. We don't need to send it over the wire and store it 1,000 times. But we're also doing interesting things with things like sentiment. So by looking at the language of the log at the edge, is it a good log? Is it a bad log? Is it indifferent? Is it a connection timed out? Is it like, that's probably not good? Is it a transaction was successful, probably okay. Like, it's really interesting, doing that at the edge and starting to sort of see the sentiment of your logs. It's sort of like, as we've spoken to folks, sometimes one of the ways they found those incidents is just looking at the rate of logs, right? Looking at the shape of the graph of logs. Similar thing with sentiment. Like, you can actually sort of, see sort of what's happening if you listen to the tone of your log. So that's one of the things we're doing at the edge. And obviously we have to do that very quickly because there can be a lot of logs flowing. But then we sort of summarize that and send that up to additional layers where we have sort of very specially tuned LLMs, sort of small language models, for example, to look at those and then trying to correlate those, right? Correlate logs across services, as well as doing things like, having continuously being able to watch those logs. So Gonzo, sort of, again, we talked about our open source, that's on demand. You've got something you want to look at, you bring it up, you look at it, then you shut it down. With our commercial product, it's doing that all the time across your whole environment. Sort of, it's almost like if you had a team of Gonzos looking at all your logs all the time, trying to tell you stuff. And so, yeah, so we're doing it in a few different layers. We leverage LLMs sort of up the stack, but we also leverage a lot of traditional algorithms, if you like, particularly as we get closer to the edge.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, thinking about sentiment analysis, that is what humans are doing when they're reading through logs. They typically are looking for language that looks scary or at least has you know, an error message that looks particularly, you know, like things in bold letters or, you know, the word error. So having a automated mechanism scan your logs and flag, hey, this doesn't look the, at least it doesn't pass the vibe check. Is it interesting? Is it interesting use of LLMs? And I think that was one of the things that really jumped out at me in our initial conversations, is that you're using LLMs for that purpose. Makes sense to me.
And that's one of the things I think we actually look is capitalized, like exclamation marks. And to your point, if you're a seasoned engineer, so it's a point our CTO makes, is like, if you know, if you're, imagine you're in the Matrix and logs are streaming by, you kind of know if you're seasoned, that's not important. That is the, oh, well, wow, that's, you know, with that thing. And then I know we had the, I think we had the discussion as well, and we've heard a lot recently about the normal error. You know, so a lot of, you know, developers, some from time to time, everyone does it, right? Like I put in an error, but oh no, you can ignore that one. Like that's it's the error that's not important, sort of thing. But by looking at the language too, like it's a really another dimension of that, right? So it also gives sort of, because a human at the end of the day wrote most of the time wrote that log message, right? And so it sort of gives you the intent in the language behind it. So it is interesting because we spoke to, you know, folks at KubeCon, like, oh, sentiment, like, you know, you I've heard it for that, for social media messages and doing things, and like, but oh, for logs, that's interesting, you know.
The immediate thing that comes to mind is when you SSH into a server and the fingerprint has changed, you get an immediate message that says someone is doing something nasty. The sentiment of that is very clear and obvious, right? So you're right, logs are written in code by humans to convey a specific meaning. Another thing that comes to mind as well is the problem in the reliability side, the on-call side, alerts fatigue, right? Like you're mentioning the idea of a normal error. So we have to use cognitive load to, through our mess of alerts, to filter out which ones actually matter versus the ones that don't. And while, you know, long-term, hey, have some alerts hygiene and do all of those best practices, it sounds like your tooling and approach with the absence of that, you can at least easily zero in on the stuff that matters, cut through the noise in a more initial phase of a startup or something like that.
That's right. I mean, it helps you, you know, the sentiment is done as well, of course, across multiple services. So, and that goes through a, sort of a correlation sort of layer, inference layer, and then other layers on top of that. And so the other thing that's important here is, you know, a lot of the information, it's not just the log message, it's the metadata, right? It's the context around the log, like, well, okay, which namespace is it in? Which container image is it running? All these other things. And that go into this to determine an issue and its impact and those kinds of things. So, and even, you know, our goal is not necessarily to zero in on the actual always, you know, it's the, you know, it was what Professor Plum with the candlestick and the study sort of thing, like any clue, right? But like at least get you that much closer, that much faster. And because oftentimes it's like, oh, as you know, like, oh, I made a change in GitHub on here and I did this and, okay. So ultimately it's about, you know, hopefully improving reliability and getting to answers faster. You know, we also store this, I would say historically, right? So one of the interesting things, obviously we're focused also on helping you right now figure this out and get to the bottom of it, but by measuring the sentiment and over time and correlating this information over time, you have sort of this, an interesting fabric of what are my most reliable services, or where have I had the most incidents, and what was the reason behind that. And so hopefully giving you sort of a fabric by which you can improve, you know, improve reliability and tell you where to focus sort of going forward.
Yeah, no, that's particularly interesting. I'm curious if you have maybe an example case study where, you know, through the full use of Gonzo or your enterprise tool sentiment analysis, can you give us an example of where this really shines?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. It's sort of funny because we're talking about, we're showing that we had this at KubeCon, but you know, one, it's not just about application logs as well, right? So you can feed, obviously, infrastructure logs, Kubernetes control plane logs, so things like crash loop backoffs and image, all these things, and obviously your cloud provider logs too, right? And because oftentimes you're trying to correlate between the application, the infrastructure, and that sort of thing. So we had a scenario. It was a real scenario, right? Based on the OTel demo, where you know, you're running, for example, ARM architecture and staging, and you're trying to move to that, but you've got x86 in production, and you put the wrong image, right? You know, hey, I updated my feature, but I forgot to change the image when I push it to prod to use the right architecture image. So we had that at KubeCon, and certainly that resonated. We had that ourselves the other day. So I mean, talk about dog fooding. It was a slightly different context. Like, we're using sort of AI on the back end, and we're using GPU nodes and this kind of thing. But the, you know, as we auto scaled one of the GPU clusters, couldn't find the right image.
Yep.
We got an image back off, showed up red on the sentiment. Hey, you know, like, and we actually dog fooded, right? Like, oh, well, that's because it couldn't pull the right image because it was a GPU node, right? So it was a sort of and you know, I'm sort of on the product management side, and I got to say, hey, you know, guys, that is a real scenario. See, and you know, there's other examples like that, particularly where you have sort of cascading failures as well. Like, you know, maybe a back end is down, it propagates to the front end, and you start seeing the sentiment sort of change across the services as well. So. Those are some of the other sort of failure modes that are, you know, can be pretty typical.
Yeah, that seems really useful. Just monitoring sentiment change over time, and you're right. Like, this is as a person who's recently used it and experimented with it, it is way easier to understand what's going on than just pipe grep, right?
Yeah.
And most engineers are still doing, you know, pipe grep right now. So, yeah, just hooking some logs to it, you definitely get those insights rather quickly. And that definitely resonated.
And the other thing we said, please, about the known unknowns, like when you do the pipe grep, you have to know what you're grepping for, right? Typically,
correct.
Like, oh, I'm looking for 500s, or I'm looking for this, or whatever, like whatever it is. The beauty of sentiment is it doesn't really care, right? Because it adapts with. Maybe you just put in a new feature with new logs, or maybe you just put in a new application. Like, the sentiment will adapt, right? Based on the language, the sentiment of the language in the log. So you don't need to know with very high fidelity what you're looking for ahead of time, which is sort of interesting. So, because again, that whole dashboard, which is based on a query, which is sort of brittle because it's looking for a very specific thing.
Yes.
And then they go stale, which is part of the problem, right? You can then develop, you know, this whole thing, like, who keeps the dashboards up to date, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's one of the biggest pain points, actually, for SLOs. And there are SaaS companies out there, and even like my activity as a consultant is asking the question, hey, when was the last time you changed that dashboard? Have you reviewed it? Right? Uh-huh. Because it is based on a set of assumptions that were made at the time of definition. And as you add more features, and as you maybe add more products to your portfolio, customer expectations are now different than when you defined it. So that's a very, very interesting point. No, very good. So let's try to get into another philosophical perspective that I think is maybe a hot take. We'll see.
Yeah.
So in your view, long term, what is the ideal experience for software engineers, not ops people, not people like me, but what is the ideal experience for software engineers when they need to gather information from production that is different from how they're doing it today?
Yeah. So I think, you know, putting my classic sort of product management hat on, you got to meet folks where they work, right? So software engineers work, and this, you know, this was, we had these discussions very early on. They work in the IDE, they work in the terminal. Right. Now we have AI IDEs, you know, we have Cursor, we have other things. And to me, the shift that's going to happen is we just talked about the static dashboard sort of thing, but
Yes.
now it's like, based on what I'm doing right now, where I'm working in my terminal or my ID, give me the information displayed in the right way, in the right context, based on what I'm doing right now. So it's, to
Right.
me, it's going to be very dynamic. Like if I'm in the code in this part of the code, then show me the relevant stuff in observability information for where I'm at, right? So I think the whole nature of the UX, particularly for the software engineer, is going to change. You know, that has repercussions around things like MCP servers and how do we get the right information and these kinds of things. But that experience, I think, is we're sort of seeing it unfold before us. But it's bringing the insights to the engineer, sort of where they work, in the right context of what they're working on. So that, you know, yes, I mean, we're still going to have SLOs. We need to see, you know, statuses like we talked about. We need to, you know, those need to be always up and always ready for across our services. But in terms of what we show the software engineer, let's push it to them, right? So one of the things we did, for example, in Gonzo. So again, we're big fans of OpenTelemetry. We're sort of using a lot of that under the hood. You don't have to be using it, obviously, but we sort of use a lot of that under the hood for a lot of good reasons. But Gonzo, for example, supports native OTLP. So
Yeah.
there's this concept of sort of observability-driven development where, as I'm instrumenting my code, like, can I see the results of that very quickly before I even go to staging, right? Before I go to wherever, just locally. And so you can use Gonzo in that sort of way, like, you know, with my logs. Okay, did I instrument that correctly? Have I got the right metadata, the right labels, the key value pairs, this sort of thing? So that's an example, sort of, I guess, in the Gonzo side of helping the developer very quickly do very quick feedback loops around the observability. But I think long term, where this is going, it's almost like personalization, right? Like, you hear about this on, I guess I've heard about it about you on more on the AI side, like, not just as I go to a shopping site or whatever, it's dynamically just for me and what I'm interested in. It's not just about, you know, here's what most people would like to see. It's based on my history and my preferences and my context and understanding what I'm looking for, all that good stuff. I think that's going to be more of the experience that flows back to the software engineer, the developer, and hopefully, you know, maybe less PromQL out of that. I
Yeah. Okay. I think that makes sense. You're describing a world, and let me know if I'm wrong. You're describing a world where content personalization, where it was previously used for, hey, let me get the ad in your face so you will buy the thing.
know.
You're describing a world where we're using content personalization to solve people's problems,
That's right.
right?
That's
Which is
right.
a way more human-friendly way to use that technology. Yeah, that resonates and makes a lot of sense. And I think teams have been trying to attempt this more and more in the production incidents side, where it's like, hey, this app is having a problem. Here is the graph for the error rate on this particular app. 80% of it is from this particular endpoint, and you're starting to provide a set of data that is pertinent to this instance rather than, hey, go check out the SLO dashboard. Okay, look at the supplementary dashboard. You know, there is a dynamic just-in-time generation of the metrics you need in the moment that you need it. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Your idea about, hey, I'm running a dev and staging environment. I don't have observability platform and retention for all of that, but I can, point Gonzo at the artifacts on the local environment and tell me what's going on is really interesting. And yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense too, because dev environments, you don't care beyond that iteration, right? So if you're able to quickly extract, oh, this is the performance. This is whether it was success or a failure. This is why it happened. Like, you got the value out of it.
That's
You have
right.
a means to visualize it, and then you can throw the data away.
That's right. That's right. It's not about the retention in that case. Like, it's about, giving you the insights you need very quickly. And so that you can hopefully avoid an issue in production, right? And so, absolutely. And it's always struck me as a little crazy, like, and you get into these, well, maybe we can do it like half the price in staging. I'm like, well, that's exactly where you need it, right? Like, because before you get to production, you're trying to avoid things too. I mean, not that you can avoid, again, you can't avoid everything by definition, but yeah, so, and you're right, we don't need to retain that all the time, right? I mean, a lot of, as you probably know, a lot of dev and staging environments are very noisy, and there's always stuff going on and experiments going on. So, and they're meant to be like that. So,
Definitely. Though I have the radical perspective that we should define SLOs for user acceptance testing environments and staging environments as early warning systems. But to your point, I wouldn't want to capture everything. I just want to capture those 3 to 5 metrics and know if it's good. And then you're going to need something to understand why it isn't.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense to me. All right, so it looks like we should take this plane down for a landing. So what is next for control theory? Maybe new features for Gonzo, maybe new features for your enterprise offering. Like, what do you think the next 1 to 2 years looks like in terms of improving the state of observability? Because clearly we need to make some fixes.
So, one thing for us is, we previewed Distillate. That's the name of our commercial solution. We have early design partners and customers we're working with that. So we got to get that to market. We're really excited to get the potential of this sentiment and this edge analysis and, doing things very differently into everyone's hands. And so that's obviously in the near term. As we look forward, I think, there are other signals we're looking at. I mean, again, we've talked about some of them today, things like metrics, which are key for SLOs, red metrics, other things are sort of key as well. There's other interesting things, I think, there's a whole discussion of sort of logs versus traces. And is a trace actually really like a log? Like, I spoke to a customer, you've probably done this yourself, like, yesterday they use correlation IDs in their logs. Like, some mature shops do that. So they propagate, for example, the user session ID through the system. And you've basically got a trace, right? You can say, show me all the logs related to this correlation ID, this sort of group by sort of thing. So that's an interesting, again, can we meet folks where they are and get sort of the power traces, but sort of leveraging the logs they've already got, is an interesting one. On the Gonzo front, yeah, we're getting like just a ton of feedback. We just re introduced native Kubernetes support. It's probably what you played with when you're playing with it.
Sure did.
In the past, we've had things like Stern and weird sort of wrappers, so I could get pod, sorry, logs from multiple pods and namespaces and stuff. So now that's just native. It will use your kubeconfig that you got, and you can just go. We've integrated it with things like K9s, and there's probably other integrations. And things we want to do, and just making it easier to get started, and make sure we have good educational content. We've got docs now, and all that good stuff. So we're trying to, get feedback on that as well. So, we had a request for can Gonzo support traces? That was sort of interesting in the community. So, there's a lot of good stuff coming in. But I think ultimately, if I bubble it up to the big picture, it's like, how far can we go by moving intelligence to the edge, right? And can we have our cake and eat it too? Like, can we have a way to store compliance logs, audit logs off in S3, but then have the analytics? And can we tie the value of observability to the insights, not the amount of data that's stored, which is sort of how a lot of the industry works today, honestly. So I think by doing those things, I think there's a way we really change things up, and AI is sort of the dark horse, right? Is it like you're gonna have the incumbents? Obviously, everyone's gonna bolt on the AI stuff on this big data lake on the back end, like, okay, or an AI query builder, or can it make sort of interesting things out of the data, or is it fundamentally a different approach, like moving stuff to the edge needed, versus trying to bolt it on after the fact, right? And so that's sort of I think that's sort of our bet here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if anything, there is a long overdue need to change the current observability ecosystem. The current like usage-based pricing, retention-based pricing is long overdue to be disrupted. So I appreciate your willingness to try to affect that. And I mean, you released Gonzo as MIT license, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go at it. Everyone try it. Give us feedback. We're looking for it. We're looking for feedback, contributors, whatever. Like, we'll just kick the tires on it, and tell us what's good, bad, and different,
Yeah, rock on. That's awesome. So if people want to reach you, ask questions, how can they?
Yeah. Easiest ways, controltheory.com. If you're interested in Gonzo, controltheory.com/gonzo. We also have the control theory repo out there on GitHub for everyone. That's the best way to get in touch with us. We have a community Slack channel actually for Gonzo as well, if you're interested in chatting with us, or just filing an issue or a PR or whatever. That's great too. So yeah, just hit up our website and reach out to us.
Will do. Yeah, I'll put all of those links in the show notes for convenience. John, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me and discussing a very interesting subject around observability.
Thank you, Amin. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Reliability Rebels. Until next time.
Check one, check two.
Reliability Rebels.
Check one, check two.
Reliability Rebels.
Check, 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 check.
Reliability Rebels.